Has she made it?
That was out.
It was long. And Serena Williams is still the queen of the center court.
Serena Williams, you know, she just takes a break, has a kid, pops back into Wimbledon and first major back, and she's in the final. 8 a.m. tomorrow, center court against Kerber. What's Kerber's first name?
Angelique.
I knew that. Angelique Kerber, the 11 seed, Serena, 25 seed, but those seeds really don't tell you a lot. We know Serena is much better than the 25th best player in the world. We know she's the best player in the world when she's playing her game, and I didn't think she's played that great yet, which means she could save her best for last coming up tomorrow and be quite the story if she wins. And if she doesn't, that's okay. She'll keep going for more majors. And the next one would be, what's the next major?
U.S.
It is U.S., right? Yeah, because Australia and French, U.S. is. Oh, that's Labor Day weekend. I always remember Labor Day weekend, September, that's when they have the in Flushing, New York, the U.S. Open. I like to go to that sometime. I think that'd be awesome.
I've always said that to us, but there's like two things I want to do in New York.
My sister-in-law.
U.S. Open and see the 9/11 memorial and stuff like that. That's about it for me.
Yep, I agree. And then I'm done. I don't need to go anything else. Kerber and Williams, Wimbledon final coming up tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. The men's semifinals going on now. Kevin Anderson, who knocked off Roger Federer, leads 2-1 in the third set against Jonathan Isner of the United States of America, of course. Isner lost the first set in tiebreak 7-6, but won the second set in tiebreak 7-6. So they're in the third set on serve 2-1. Anderson with the lead. And then after that one, the other semifinal, Novak Djokovic against Rafael Nadal. I'm picking, and I did pick Nadal to win this tournament. I was hoping it'd be Nadal and Federer in the final. That'd be pretty awesome. Djokovic has been playing really well, but I don't know if he's all the way back from his injuries. We'll find out. Coming up today, Nadal's playing some really good tennis, and that guy gets to everything. He's fun to watch. Whether you like him and you're cheering for him, he's just fun to watch. He is in such great physical shape, and all these guys are. But Nadal doesn't overpower you with serves like Isner or Anderson or Djokovic, but he is just the human backboard, man. He is so creative, so quick. So those are the semifinals at Wimbledon. All right, the World Cup. It's the third-place game, which I am going to get up early tomorrow to watch because I've got money riding on Belgium. I'm kidding. I don't care. Belgium, England tomorrow at 9 a.m. for third place, which everybody will remember or not 2 weeks from now who won the third-place match. But it's good. People are going to be in the stands. They're going to spend money. And if, you know, the countries are willing to play, then so be it. Belgium and England for third at 9 a.m. But everybody knows the real match is coming up on Sunday, the one that really counts. And that's for the World Cup Championship, France versus Croatia at 10 a.m. Sunday morning on Fox TV. I'm gonna pick France to win it, even though I really kind of want the little guy to win.
I want Croatia to win, but I'm picking France too,
which means Croatia's going to win. So if you have money on this, Dusty and I pick France, Croatia's going to win. All right, time for Stump the Waterside Wake-Up Guys Trivia with Dusty. This is bonus material for you, everybody. I know. Hold on to your seats and let the fun begin. But it is soccer-related. It's directly soccer-related. Can you tell me what country scored the first goal in World Cup history?
Ooh. This is definitely just going to be...
I'll let you take a blind guess, and then I'll give you four choices.
Okay, this is definitely just going to be a shot in the dark. Okay. I don't even remember. I don't even know when the World Cup started.
Okay. I'll tell you here in a little bit.
France.
Is that that's a guess?
Yeah.
You're unbelievable.
I was just like, France is playing in the finals, we're picking them to win, so I'm just going to say France.
Pick your lottery numbers now, Dusty, now. Two guesses a day, and he's two for two. Man,
I didn't even give you a multiple choice. I wanted to say some South American country, but I was like, that's probably not going to be it. No, okay. France is playing for the championship, so let's go. Okay, hot shot.
All right, hot shot. Let's see if you can go three for three on guessing. Okay, so the first goal scored in World Cup history was France. They scored the first goal. All right, who won the first ever World Cup?
I'm going to say Brazil on that.
Oh, you don't buy your lottery numbers. Yeah. You only get a couple right. Uruguay defeated Argentina 4-2.
See, then I would have been right on a South American country on the winner. Uh-huh. But
right. Uruguay defeated Argentina 4-2 in front of 93,000 people. What year was it? Yeah, I'm pulling that up now. The first World Cup, let's see here. It was founded in 1930, so was that the first one? I'm looking to make sure. It looks like 1930. The championship, yep, that's right. The championship has been awarded every 4 years since the inaugural tournament in 1930, except in 1942 and 1946 when it was not held because of the Second World War. Of course, the current champion is Germany, but that's going to change after this weekend. It'll be either France or Croatia, which won its fourth title. Germany has four titles and won that in Brazil back in 2014. 17 countries have hosted the World Cup, with Brazil, France, Italy, Germany, and Mexico having hosted it twice. And Qatar's going to host it in 2022, which has been a lot of controversy on how they got that bid. And then 2026, the USA is going to be in the World Cup. We know that for sure because they don't have to qualify, because the USA, Canada, and Mexico are going to team up to host the 2026 World Cup. So there you have that. Okay, the Big 12 football preseason poll has been released. And this is the media poll, not the coaches poll. It's never too early to think football. And if you're not a huge baseball fan right now, and you're not into soccer or tennis, and you're not big into NASCAR, and you're like a basketball football fan, then basketball is pretty much nothing going on except the off-the-season moves in the NBA and following the FBI investigation with KU and anything else.
Got that summer league going on.
Got that summer league that's exhilarating. Although there have been some unbelievable plays by some of these young guys.
Yeah.
You know, the New York Knicks booed really badly. They booed their pick in the first round of the draft. Kevin Knox, he's tearing it up in the summer league. And now all of a sudden they love the guy.
Yeah.
I remember when the Eagles booed when Donovan McNabb was drafted. They were so mad. They didn't want Donovan McNabb. He turned out to be pretty good.
Well, the Knicks did it with Porzingis.
And he turned out to be pretty good.
And it was like, it was funny when they were booing Kevin Knox and all these guys are wearing Porzingis jerseys. I'm like, dude, you were just doing this when Porzingis got drafted. Now you're wearing his jersey.
I saw the draft coverage. They actually went back to they were the same dad and son, except, of course, they were both younger when Porzingis was drafted. And they showed the video, and they reacted. And then they said, well, they got to take that back. Porzingis turned out pretty good. And then Knox, they reacted the same way. And it's like, right away, I'm like, Knox is going to be an all-star.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. Oklahoma has been chosen to finish at the top of the Big 12 football standings for the third consecutive year, according to media representatives. This year marks the sixth time since 2011 in which the Sooners led the preseason rankings. They have captured their Big 12 record 11 league titles, including the last three. OU garnered 46 of the 52 first-place votes. West Virginia was chosen second. TCU third. Texas four. Oklahoma State fifth. The Mountaineers received two first-place nods. TCU and Texas had one first-place vote. And crazy enough, K-State had the second-most first-place votes. They had two, but overall, they are picked sixth in the Big 12. Picked sixth in the Big 12. Seventh is Iowa State. Eighth is Texas Tech. Nine is Baylor. And 10 is Kansas. Shocking. Shocking, I say. That Kansas would be at the bottom of the Big 12. You know what's the great thing that Kansas can do, though? If you really wanted to talk with people that don't follow football very well, you say, hey, we're a member of the Big 12. We're picked to finish 10th. Oh, well, at least that's not last, because somebody would be thinking there's 12 in the Big 12. Yeah, that's all I got for KU football fans right now. That's all I got. You got a new AD.
Confuse everybody that doesn't know about the Big 12. Yeah. We're 10th. We're not 12th.
We're picked 12th in the Big 10. How can you be 12th? Because that's just the way we roll. Interesting. K-State gets two first-place votes and then sixth overall. This is kind of what happens with K-State. Now, last year, weren't they picked like third, if I remember right?
Third or fourth. I can't remember.
And they didn't quite live up to the hype. They are almost always better off being picked lower and then over-exceed the rankings before the season. They almost always exceed those expectations.
Well, the guy from Go Power Cat yesterday kind of had a tweet that said when they're picked to finish sixth, they usually finish
top three, don't they?
Three spots ahead of sixth or worse.
Yeah.
They finish three spots ahead on average of what they're actually picked to finish in the conference. So if they're eighth, then they're going to finish fifth.
Right.
You know, and it's crazy. I mean, it's not crazy. You understand it by now about what motivates them, but it is kind of abnormal to see something like that.
It's kind of crazy that you say that too, because if I had to pick it right now, I would go OU 1, West Virginia 2, and K-State 3. Yeah. That would be, without seeing this poll, that's how I would have done it.
Yeah.
And I'd probably have Texas or TCU 4.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma State lost a lot of talent, but they're still going to be good.
Yeah, yeah. And Oklahoma State, yeah, they'll probably pick it up. And I would, too. I'd definitely have Oklahoma and West Virginia 1 and 2 at this point without looking at anything.
Right.
And looking at schedules and things like that and kind of analyzing it. Mm-hmm. But you know, K-State would be 3 or 4 for me.
KU was by a landslide pick 10th.
Yeah.
I mean a landslide. The total votes, Oklahoma 509. Baylor was picked 9th, 125, and KU 52 votes. So KU picked to be in the cellar again. Baylor at 9, Texas Tech at 8, Iowa State 7, K-State at 6, Oklahoma State at 5, Texas at 4, TCU at 3, West Virginia at 2, and Oklahoma at 1. Why do we even have these polls? Can we just go ahead for the next 10 years and just pencil in Oklahoma at the top of the football poll and KU for the men's basketball poll?
Yeah.
And Baylor for the women's?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been, you think about it, that's a lot of dominance. And this big, in the Big 12, I hear this, well, Alabama dominance and this and that in the SEC, although they didn't win the SEC last year.
No.
But really, you think, look at the Big 12, it's dominated by Oklahoma football, it's dominated by Baylor women's basketball, and it's dominated by KU and men's basketball. They're all the way across the board. You would think one of those would be a lot of parity, but it really hasn't been that way. And they changed coaches and they don't skip a beat last year.
Yeah.
And if they had any kind of run defense, they would have been the national championship game. Oklahoma.
Exactly.
Man,
I don't think we need to go in too far in depth about what that means for the Big 12 because we've talked about it a lot.
I don't think it's good for the Big 12. Everybody thinks
that the Big 12 is all this great conference all the time, and it's like, yeah.
It's overrated.
Yeah, it's great for the average teams.
It's fun to watch football, no question, all the points and everything. Although, I think the offenses are really, really good. And if they went up against the so-called great SEC defenses,
no, yeah.
We saw it in the semifinals. It's a different game for the offense of OU versus the Georgia defense, but it's also a different game for the OU defense against a smash-mouth team like Georgia was.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the Big 12 football preseason poll. Programming note, Todd Tichner, Major League Baseball umpire, will join us for our annual chat, the State of the Union of MLB. That's what I should call it with Todd Tichner.
Yeah.
Of course, he's umpire from Southwest Kansas. Love having Tish on. He wears number 13, oddly enough, and today is Friday the 13th. I just remember that. He's taken a couple of bad foul balls off the bad areas this year. He sent me a video showing one of them. I'm like, ow, baby.
Yeah.
Ow. Did you ice that stuff? Yikes. Those guys get some concussions, no question about it. Off of foul balls, deflections, or catcher miscommunicating with their pitcher and gets crossed up, and guess what? The umpire usually gets it. And they have a lot of protective gear on, but that still doesn't protect them.
Probably. Oh, no.
So Todd Tichner, Major League Baseball umpire, will be with us on Tuesday on the Sports Ticket. If you're big into football, you're going to be excited about this, unless you're not a Chiefs fan. Chiefs training camp kicks off Thursday, July 26th at Missouri Western State University in St. Joseph, Missouri. Visit Chiefs.com for more information about training camp. The first open practice to fans will be Thursday, July 26th. Less than 2 weeks. Are you kidding me? It'll be at 3:30. Admission is $5. Full team autograph session following practice. Practice is open to the public and free most days of camps except for July 26th and then August 4th, which is Family Fun Day. So a great opportunity to see your 2018 Chiefs up close and personal. Once again, Chiefs.com is where you can learn more about the full camp schedule. Parking is $5 a day, which that's pretty cheap. I've been up there for training camp a few times. It's very easy to get in and out. And
oh, yeah.
It's not a problem at all. And the preseason for the Chiefs will kick off with Patrick Mahomes as their new quarterback. It'll be August 9th, taking on the Texans at 7:30. And then the other home preseason game, which means probably Mahomes and most guys won't even play in it, will be Thursday, August 30th when they take on the Green Bay Packers. Tickets available as well at Chiefs.com. And, of course, we are the home of the Chiefs, our sister station, Z96.3 Lake, the home for the Chiefs in north central Kansas. If you had to put a win total on the Chiefs right now, if I put you on the spot, which I'm going to, I guess, but you can change it, and you haven't even maybe looked at the schedule too hard, although I think we can overanalyze the schedule because some teams we think are going to be bad end up being good.
Exactly.
Teams that are really good end up being bad. Nobody saw Jacksonville doing what they did last year. And the Rams won a Super Bowl in, what, 99, and they had won 4 games a year before. So things can change. There's always somebody that wins a division that you never predict. The Chiefs won a division by 1 game a year ago. How many wins would you say right now for the Chiefs in 2018? If you put a number on it, how many?
I'm going to say 9-7.
9-7. I'm going to say 10. I'm going to say 10-6.
It's between there, and I went 9-7.
I'm going to say 10-6. But I think the Chiefs are going to win the division at 10-6. maybe not a tiebreaker, and I think Mahomes is going to win a playoff game for this team. And that might be just my hopes instead of my head, my heart thinking instead of my head, but I think Mahomes is going to do something special this year. The key, stay healthy. I do still worry about whether he'll stay healthy. He had some injury problems at Texas today. Yeah. Took a few shots he didn't need to take. I can see him being a Brett Favre, trying to make a play and taking just a ferocious hit and missing a few games or something. And that does concern me because our backup quarterbacks, Matt McGloin or Chad Henne, that doesn't get me excited. Of course, your backups aren't usually super exciting either. But those guys are experienced but not young. But you do have a great running back in Kareem Hunt. Your offensive line's probably average, slightly above average maybe. You've got lots of weapons in the passing game. So, you know, in most situations, a lot of NFL teams with their backup quarterback starter goes down, they're in a tough situation. But in Kansas City, you've got a lot of weapons. It isn't all on you, that quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's, yeah.
I mean, look at Nick Foles a few years ago. You know, he did a nice job. He had some weapons. Didn't have to do everything. Didn't have to throw for 350 yards. Of course, now we saw what he did, Super Bowl MVP, and he did throw for 350 yeah. yards. But you can easily put a backup in there for, you know, 3, 4, 5 games.
Oh, yeah.
With
yeah.
the right personnel around him and still be very successful. You might pull back the reins a little bit as to throwing the deep ball.
Yeah, and Chad Henne's not going to do the same thing that Patrick Mahomes is.
But Andy Reid's a pretty smart guy. He's going to cater the offense to what he does well. Yeah,
definitely.
So it might not be as bad a backup quarterback situation as we might think. So Chiefs training camp begins first open practice Thursday, July 26th, less than 2 weeks away. All right, so we already talked about tennis. We talked about World Cup. And let's move on to the Royals. The Royals are going to play someone almost as bad as they are. I stress almost. The Royals are only 5 games out of 4th place in the American League Central, and they've got a huge series starting tonight in Chicago to get out of the cellar. Brad Keller on the hill for KC. Yesterday they had the day off. It's like every Thursday they get off, which is probably a good thing. I told my son the Royals didn't lose, and he goes, really? And I go, yeah, they didn't play. Brad Keller, 2-3, ERA at 2.52 against former Royal James Shields tonight. He's having a rough year, 3-10. His ERA is respectable, 4.53. It's the Royals and the White Sox tonight, beginning a series in Chicago at 7:10. The Royals 26-66. And those doggone Baltimore Orioles keep on losing. Baltimore, you're driving me nuts. They lost again 5-4 to the Phillies. Baltimore is now a full game ahead of the Royals to get the first overall pick next year. Baltimore's only, Dusty, 39.5 games out of first. They're still technically not mathematically eliminated, but I understand that by the time Chiefs start training camp, they might be. In 2 weeks.
I don't know how you're 39 games out when it's only the middle of July.
That's pretty hard to do. Yeah. Boston has the most wins before the All-Star break in Major League history, although the All-Star break's been pushed back.
Yeah, it's a little bit later.
So that's a misleading stat. Right. Boston has a 3.5 game lead over the Yankees, but Boston has the best record at 66-29. They've won 10 in a row. Baltimore's 26-68. So the best team in baseball is in the American League East and the worst team is American League East. Thus, you have the Orioles almost 40 games behind Boston. And yet they beat the Yankees 5 times of their 26 wins. Makes total sense, doesn't it? Other baseball news, the Dodgers are alone in first place for the first time this season as they have a half-game lead over Arizona. The All-Star break is next week. That's why we get to talk to umpire Todd Tischner. We mentioned Boston winning 10 in a row and 66 now overall. And Albert Pujols ties Ken Griffey Jr. with his 630th home run as the Angels roll. And Max Scherzer is having a phenomenal year. I mean, Scherzer is just unbelievable how durable the guy is. And his strikeout to inning ratio is just nuts, off the charts. Max Scherzer with his 12th win yesterday for the Nationals. And the Sandlot cast is kicking off All-Star Week festivities, which is going to be in Washington, D.C., I do believe, isn't it, at the Nationals Park?
Yep.
So you'll have the Home Run Derby, no Royal in the Home Run Derby. I know that's stunning. Moose was in it before, though, but not this year. And Bryce Harper, I think, did they have the, I think, yeah, here we go, complete Home Run Derby. Come on, computer. There you go. Home Run Derby. Jesus Aguilar against Rhys Hoskins. I don't even know who that is. Hoskins. Alex Bregman of the Astros against Kyle Schwarber of the Cubs. Hoskins, a young player for the Phillies, against the young player I mentioned, Aguilar of the Brewers, who can hit the ball a mile and a half. And on the right side of the bracket, Bryce Harper's number 2 seed. He'll take on Freddie Freeman of the Braves in the first round, and Max Muncy of the Dodgers against Javier Baez of the Cubs. I didn't know Baez was a home run hitter type of guy. I didn't think he was, but That's not a really sexy home run derby. Where's Stanton? Where's Judge? I mean, come on, Clover. I thought you had some pull, Yankee fan. Todd Clover, call the Major League Baseball office. You have Joe Torre's in. Isn't Joe Torre in charge of something? Former Yankee manager. How in the world do we not have a Yankee in the home run derby? Why isn't J.D. Martinez or Giancarlo Stanton or Aaron Judge in the home run derby? Come on now. At least we got Bryce Harper. And I'll be willing to bet he doesn't win it. It's going to be one of these guys.
It's too much pressure. He's in his home park, and he's expected to win it. I agree with you.
It's going to be one of these young guys that we don't know much about, probably. Yeah. Like a Muncy or Aguilar or a Hoskins. But that's the home run derby. It will take place coming up on Monday, and then the All-Star game will be Tuesday. So, and there'll be a futures game as well on Sunday. So that's what's taking place there, All-Star weekend for Major League Baseball. How about this story? You know, we've heard these stories back in the day. Minor League Baseball, Bill Veeck was known with Chicago and the White Sox, old Comiskey Park. They had a demo night, and that went drastically awry. And then they had the record night, and people started flinging records and all over the field and all this other stuff.
Burning disco stuff,
disco night. So there have been some really bad, and there have been some really good creative baseball promotions. And a lot of those happen in minor league baseball. Well, there is a promotion that hasn't exactly gone as well as they had hoped. Mock millennials at your peril. The Montgomery Biscuits. Love the name. It just has a sound of intimidation, doesn't it? The Montgomery Biscuits.
Makes me hungry.
I mean, that too.
You don't want to talk about them in the morning.
Well, that's how they beat you. You eat a whole bunch of biscuits and you're bloated and don't play well against them. The Montgomery Biscuits, the AA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays, are getting a crash course on that hard life lesson as the team decided to roll out a millennial night promotion slated for July 31st. There have been lots of promotions so stupid that they're charming from the minor leagues. It's part of the allure. But this one has not gone over well, and we haven't even had it yet. You want to hear the big promotion by the Montgomery Biscuits?
I do.
Here's what they put on Twitter, at Biscuits Baseball on Twitter. It's millennial night. Want free things without doing much work? Well, you're in luck. Riverwalk Stadium will be Millennial Friday or friendly on Saturday, July 21st, with a participation ribbon giveaway just for showing up to the game, napping, and selfie stations, along with lots of avocados.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, there's no stereotype there at all.
I like the participation ribbon.
I love the napping
station. I like it all, but...
I like the napping station the best, but the participation ribbon giveaway, that's pretty good, too. So, as you can imagine, there are some people that are overreacting, not very happy about it. But, you know, it's all about fun.
Yeah.
You know, but...
And that's why we laugh.
Right. But here's some of the responses from some fans, too. Millennial night for the Montgomery Biscuits AA affiliate. Here's a few of the responses. How about a boomer night? When the old people leave at the seventh inning stretch, we burn the entire field down. Proceeds from millennial night will pay for the damage. Oh, here's another one. A live look at the Biscuits marketing and PR manager today, and they have a snippet of The Simpsons with the old man, Grandpa. Old man yells at the cloud. Here's another one. Hi there. Looks like you need to fire your entire social media department. I've got considerable experience. Let me know where I can send my resume. Here's another one that's pretty serious. As a non-millennial, I think your copy was supposed to read, Riverwalk Stadium will have a condescending promo intended to ensure that millennials never visit the ballpark again. What's another one here? And then they responded, Montgomery Biscuits, offended. Feel free to fight your battles and visit us at Riverwalk Stadium. Any millennials that actually come by during office hours before next Saturday and submits a valid complaint in person to our Millennial Night think tank may get a free ticket or two to the game. So they're taking another shot. If you actually would come down during office hours. and then one of the best memes here I've got, Steven puts, insulting the people you're advertising to. And there's a shot of dodgeball And it's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him. That is funny stuff, man. Funny stuff. I love creative ideas. That is outside the box. I love the creativity. Now, if I was a millennial, I might not take as much. I might not be as cool with the idea, but I don't think I'd get all riled up about it either. It's all in fun and jest, I think.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that, because if I go too much further,
You'll get in trouble with millennials?
It probably won't be the right things to say. But if I'm any kind of group that this is targeting, it's a minor league baseball team.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you can't understand the joke.
Yeah. People just got to have thicker skin.
And that's not just millennials in this country today.
No.
You know, it's like, understand the humor in it and the joke. Like, this was not like some overly offensive, something's going to hurt me and I can't live the next day kind of thing, you know? Like,
I just gotta laugh at it. I just love it. It says free stuff, and there's an arrow with the picture of their logo, and it says free stuff. There's arrow, and underneath it, it says free stuff. Participation ribbons, napping stations, selfie stations. I think it's good stuff, actually. But hey, it's creative. Like I said, I love creativity. All right, let's
I've been to a lot of places that actually have selfie stations. Uh-huh, they don't promote it like that.
Right, right.
The Spurs had one when I went there. There was a spot you could go over, take a selfie in front of a background.
Which you did that.
I did.
Along with pictures with the beautiful cheerleaders. Do you notice that you went to San Antonio? They had cheerleaders and dancers, and now that you ruined it for everybody, they were like, oh, okay, that's enough. These people took pictures with Dusty Dinas. We got to get rid of the cheer team.
It's over. The game's over.
The dancers are done.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't know you had that much clout.
I didn't either. But
if you really had clout, you'd get Self to go to the Spurs, and that would help your K-State men's basketball program. All right. Terrell Owens, one of the best wide receivers in NFL history, announced recently that he will not attend the 2018 Pro Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony. We said earlier, and we talked about it a few weeks ago, that we think that's a mistake. At the same time, we also noted that Terrell Owens, there's no need for everybody to get all upset about it and say he shouldn't go into the Hall of Fame because he isn't going to be his induction ceremony. He has the right in this country to say, I'm not going to attend my own induction ceremony and do my own thing, which he's going to. He's going to give his induction speech at his alma mater, the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. He said, after giving it much thought, I have realized just how much I want to celebrate what will inevitably be the best weekend of my life at a place that means so much to me. He wrote in a message posted to Twitter, and he said at the end, get your popcorn ready. You know, I'm okay with Terrell Owens doing that. No question about it. Why do I care? It's his honor, his reward, and if his family's cool with it and he wants to do that. Now, is he sending a message to the Hall of Fame? Is he a little bit upset he wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer? Yeah, probably he's sending a message. But I still think, despite all of that, I really wish Terrell Owens would reconsider, which is probably too late now, to actually be there. Even if he doesn't want to give a speech or just get up and say, hey, I should have been in a couple years ago. Thank you and good night. I think he's going to regret not being there. We talked about that before. He can't take this back. When he's 65 years old, if he lives to be that long, hopefully he does, I think he's going to look back and go, wow, I was kind of stubborn there, and I was trying to make a point, but did I really go too far with that? Or maybe he's going to be completely content with what he did and feels like this is better than anything else I could have done, and he'll have a really cool ceremony. But if you're wondering, well, what happens about that Hall of Fame jacket? How does that work? If he's not going to be at his induction ceremony, are they going to give him the jacket ahead of time so he can have it at the induction or his ceremony in University of Tennessee, Chattanooga? Well, let's see here. The Hall of Fame is matching Owens by excluding him entirely from the induction proceedings. The Hall's executive director told Clark Judge of CBS Sports of the Talk of Fame Network as well, Owens will not be introduced for Friday night's gold jacket ceremony, nor will he be announced the following night at Canton's annual induction ceremony. The focus, Horrigan said, is on the guys who are here, and that excludes Terrell Owens. Instead, here's what's going to happen. The Hall of Fame, the National Football League Hall of Fame, is going to mail Terrell Owens his gold jacket first thing Saturday, the morning after the rest of the class of 2018 receives their jackets. Owens will still appear on materials featuring the entire Hall of Fame class, but as the director said, there's no reason to bring him up as an individual. He's not here. In addition to Owens, the 2018 Hall of Fame class of the NFL includes Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, Brian Urlacher, Brian Dawkins, Bobby Bethard, Jerry Kramer, Robert Brazil, and, of course, Terrell Owens. Any thoughts on that? They're mailing him his jacket. He's not there. They're getting it to him in time so he can have it for his own ceremony.
Yeah.
They're including him on the printed materials. They're not acting like he's not there. But let's be honest, he's not going to be there. So why do they have to make a big hubbub about T.O. other than to say, yeah, okay, he's part of the Hall of Fame. He's on the printed materials. You can read about his bio. But he didn't come here to give a speech. There's not going to be any introductory speaker for him because he's not here. I don't know how the Hall of Fame is supposed to handle it any differently.
Now, you can't, if you're T.O., you can't be mad at him for not including you in that thing if you didn't include yourself in it.
I agree.
I mean,
Two wrongs don't make a right.
100%, I think what they're doing the right thing there, you know. Yeah. Obviously, you can't keep him out of the materials and things like that he's there. You've inducted him into the Hall of Fame.
You chose him.
You've made that decision already.
Right.
And, you know, he's made his decision. So now you make your counter decision that says, well, if you're not going to be here, why do we introduce you? Like, it wouldn't make any sense for anybody if they weren't there.
Right.
Now, you know, if they're holed up in the hospital or something like that and something happened, they can't make it. You probably still bring your guy out to give the speech if he's still available and say, you know, we'll present this gold jacket to him at another time, things like that. But, you know, if they're not there by choice, then I think by choice you have to say, well, we're not going to honor you here at our ceremony if you're not coming.
Right. Nope, I would agree with you. Have you seen Tim Tebow, what he's doing? He was a AA All-Star, and he's just starting to tear the cover off the ball.
Yeah.
You know, I've never have understood the hatred for Tim Tebow. If there's ever a class act and a model citizen and somebody to, if you ever want to have your kid try to find a role model in sports, which I don't usually highly recommend, sometimes hopefully it's somebody near you, a dad, a mom, a grandpa, an uncle, or whoever it may be, an aunt, a cousin. But Tim Tebow does everything the right way, and I really am pulling for him to make it to the major leagues, and I think he'll get a September call-up if he keeps playing like he is.
Mm-hmm.
One, it helps sell tickets.
Yeah.
But also the Mets aren't that good. What do they have to lose? And it'd be so awesome if he could make it and play in the big leagues for a few years. I think that'd be fantastic. I just have never understood the vile towards Tim Tebow. The media created a lot of it.
No, without question.
It was an interesting piece I saw on Twitter about, can you imagine if you were in the locker room of Florida when they won their national championships. Tim Tebow was a quarterback. He was basically a pastor on the team. And then you had Aaron Hernandez, who was a convicted murderer. And then you had some of these other guys that have gotten in all kinds of problems, assault and this and that. What a weird mix. You've got a guy as stand up as they come in Tim Tebow, who still they all got along from different backgrounds and won championships in college, but yet couldn't be any completely more different than each other than possibly could be.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy? It just tells you that sports can bring some interesting people together to go for a common goal.
Yeah, that's going to happen at a lot of universities like that, and especially in football, where there's a bigger pool of players that are there. Yeah, I don't know that you're going to have murderers on every team like Aaron Hernandez, but you're going to have different personalities and different guys. I mean, you can't recruit the right way and not have different personalities on your team.
Right.
Like different guys that are from way different backgrounds, from big cities, small cities, walk-ons, from eight-man football teams. You know, any kind of guys that are out there from small communities to big communities, grew up in a town of 200 or a million, you know, they're going to be all different people pretty much anywhere you go. I think you could probably look at that almost any national champion, but obviously it's magnified when you're looking at Aaron Hernandez and Tim Tebow on the same team.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. All right, some NBA news before we get out of here today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. And by the way, if you're looking for a business opportunity, Crossroads in Downs is for sale. So contact Ryan or pop on by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs, the best darn food in a railroad town. NBA news, Marcus Smart considered a top priority by the Celtics now, according to Danny Ainge. That should make Smart happy because he was really upset recently about how the Celtics weren't really communicating with him and trying to make him a priority. They say he is now. The Rockets are looking at Nick Young, who was with the Warriors last year, to add to the Rockets. Carmelo Anthony hasn't been official yet, but it looks like the Thunder and him are going to part ways. And reports are Houston really is going to go after him. And I say, now you're going to kill your chances of winning a championship.
I'm all for it. Like,
what are you doing?
If it wasn't, like
Oklahoma City fans, including myself, are like, this is addition by subtraction by Carmelo being out. It helps us financially. The luxury tax, it helps on the salary cap a little bit. It's going to help in the future. We get him off the books eventually and stretch out what we owe him. And we get rid of him off the team, which is the biggest addition because he doesn't play good defense. He's not the player he once was. According to his coach and the owners and general managers, they say he was very professional and and took a back seat to Westbrook and George. And they say all the right things, but I think you could connect the dots a little bit that there was obviously some issues there. And at the end of the day, they didn't accomplish what they're supposed to accomplish as the big three in OKC. I never understood why they got Carmelo. I didn't think they needed him. Before, when they got George, before they got Carmelo, I'm like, wow, I like the Thunder's chances. They added Carmelo, and I told you right away, I said, that makes them worse.
We were all in agreement, yeah.
Yeah, we were. I said, that makes them worse. And so Dwight Howard goes to the Wizards. That kills their chances. They're done. You don't have to have the season. Don't even play it. The Wizards are done. They're not, well, they ain't going to win a championship anyway, but they, I don't know. They'll even make the playoffs. Dwight Howard, wherever he goes, they don't usually end up being very good since his original stop in Orlando.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Carmelo. I mean, wherever he goes, teams seem to get worse. They don't get better. So I'm sitting there going, Lakers should get him. I've heard reports Rockets, Lakers interested. Like, go for it. The Warriors would be laughing even more. Isaiah Thomas, two seasons ago, was playing for the Boston Celtics, and he was unbelievable. He was MVP candidate, and guess what? He was in line to get this huge contract extension, possibly. But the Celtics, one, didn't want to give him that big contract extension and a max deal, and two, he had an unfortunate hip injury at the wrong time. Then yes. He was traded from Boston to Cleveland for Kyrie Irving, in essence, along with others. He goes to Cleveland, doesn't work out. He was kind of outspoken and kind of got himself run out of Cleveland, basically. So then he goes to the Lakers and did okay, but nobody really knew too much because the Lakers weren't very good. And now Isaiah Thomas, who just is coming off a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, an MVP caliber season, and I loved watching him play. When he was clicking, unbelievable, dude. The shortest guy on the floor lighting up for 51 in a playoff game. Not very good defensively, but offensively just amazing. And I used him as an example for my son who likes to play basketball. I said, see, the short guy can still control things. And it kind of makes me sad. But Isaiah Thomas, and I shouldn't be sad for him, he's still a millionaire. But Isaiah Thomas is going to the Denver Nuggets on a one-year deal for $2 million, the league minimum. Yeah. That means nobody was really interested in him.
Yeah, well.
Isn't it amazing how quickly he's fallen? And it was because of an unfortunate injury that started this.
Yeah, exactly. It's.
I hope he refines his game, and I hope he gets healthy, and he can at least resurrect his career a little bit in Denver. It's just amazing to me that 2 years after having a career year, and before the year before he was pretty good for Boston too, an MVP candidate, that he's on a one-year, $2 million deal with the Nuggets going to Denver where you're not on the map.
No, not at all.
That's wow.
Not a good destination to be promoting Isaiah Thomas, that's for sure. So it is sad to see how quick that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were having arguments on the station here. If he's the top five player in the NBA, would you want him on your team? Like, would you start some stuff with him? You know, mm-hmm. like he's a young guy, you can bring him in. He does a lot for you offensively.
Right.
Obviously, his knock is always going to be his size. But and his defense, and a lot of his defense probably is because of his size. I mean, he's just not big enough to check some of those bigger guards that he's trying to guard.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, obviously, I don't think you can look at a whole lot of players in the NBA in the history of the league that are his size that have probably been recognized as outstanding defensive players.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just kind of the way it is. And so, you know, but we're thinking, you know, he's a top five player in the league right now. And then all of a sudden it's just nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like when they made the trade, the Cavs, that with LeBron on their team, they might have got the better end of the deal at the time because they've got a guy like Isaiah coming in, and then he didn't do anything there, obviously. Like you said, he kind of alienated himself a little bit, and that didn't help him, I'm going to guess, in off-season negotiations here either, because he might not be a team player anymore and things like that. So that's... Yeah, $2 million. The Nuggets probably think they got a steal, $2 million for 1 year for Isaiah. But we'll see. I mean, like you say, it's not a good spot for him for trying to get his name out there and Isaiah Thomas out there to make it big.
Well, the good thing is, it's a 1 year deal. So if he has a really good year, then he'll probably find a different destination, maybe a bigger market. And then he's 29, by the way, so he should be right in the middle of the prime of his career. But that injury. It's like Derrick Rose getting hurt. He had an MVP season, and then all the injuries Derrick Rose had. And, of course, we mentioned Bo Jackson. This is one of the best examples of just injuries cutting what would have been a Hall of Fame career and probably two professional sports.
Oh, yeah.
it's just really it's sad to see that. You know, another guy would be Greg Oden. I mean, that guy was stud in college, and then just, well, even Danny Manning. I mean, he had a ton of injuries. He could have been so much more. Sam Bowie, way back, of course, drafted ahead of Michael Jordan. He was really good in college, and then injury just killed his career. We could go on and on. Former Jayhawk Darrell Arthur is going somewhere, and it's not Denver. Denver has agreed to send Kenneth Faried, Darrell Arthur, and a 2019 protected first-round pick and a future second-round pick to the Nets for Isaiah Whitehead. And you're like, who's Isaiah Whitehead? Well, this is just a salary dump. Denver's getting this money off the books, and they're moving. And I've talked about Darrell Arthur making like $6, $7 million to be a backup guy that shoots threes as a 6'10 guy. Darrell Arthur's got one. Him and Vanna White have two of the best jobs. Cole Aldrich has the best job. He plays like 1 minute a game, which, by the way, the T-Wolves either bought him out or let him go.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Which was smart because he didn't play anyway, and they're paying him a lot of money. They signed him like a three-year, $22 million deal, and when I saw that, I'm like, what are they thinking? Hey, I know he's from Minnesota, but, you know, hey, we're the T-Wolves. Let's give our
hometown
boy.
He'll be used to the cold. He
deal.
Won't complain about coming up here.
Yeah, I guess so. But, yeah, that's the latest. Darrell Arthur's going to be a New Jersey Net, or Brooklyn Net, I should say. I'm sorry. And also, Rob Pelinka says that the Lakers, Rob Pelinka's a GM of the Lakers, we can't play the Warriors game. If we try to play like the Warriors, we're falling into a trap. Duh. You think? You obviously, with the guys you picked up, you're not trying to play like the Warriors. Lance Stevenson, you're not trying to shoot the ball from the outside, that's for sure. Lance Stevenson, JaVale McGee, Rajon Rondo, none of those guys can shoot with a lick. So what you're trying to do is become a really good defensive team, I guess. And a great defense is going to shut down a great offense. Usually in sports, that does work. If it's the number one defense against number one offense, many times the defense wins more often than number one offense. At least you see it in football, it seems like. I don't know when you got a team like the Warriors. It's a little different deal. And the Warriors, by the way, aren't bad defensively. Usually your great offensive teams don't play a lot of defense. The Warriors do play defense when they want to. And they added DeMarcus Cousins, who probably won't play till January. So the Lakers point out the obvious, their general manager. We're not going to play like the Warriors. We're not going to fall in that trap. Well, you'd be kind of crazy to try to play like them.
There's not a team in NBA history that's
like
one
them.
That has played like the Warriors.
No.
I mean, they changed the game. I mean, it's not.
Have.
Houston's trying to do it.
The rules
a little
have
bit.
Adapted to more wide open game.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. You know, Houston was living and dying by the three, and they died by it in a few games there in the Western Conference Finals. And what was it? Harden 0 for 27? 27 straight misses from three. And he's your MVP of the league.
Yeah.
But he did that in the playoffs. And of course, they had one of the biggest games of the year. And they couldn't make a shot to save their life. But, you know, Chris Paul played. Maybe they would have found a way. But that's the knock on D'Antoni in the system is, that's great and all. Fun system, and you made it to Western Conference Finals, and you made a ton of threes. But you live and die by the three, and you're not going to be able to live by it all the way to a championship. And let's be honest, Kevin Durant's not a three-point shooter. He can shoot threes, but he's not a three-point shooter.
Yeah.
And the Warriors have guys that shoot threes. We know that with Thompson and Curry. But they got so many other things they can do and score. Now you add Cousins with his back-to-the-basket game if he's healthy. You don't have to live and die by the three, and the Warriors never have really lived and died by the three. They get hot from three and can win that way, but they're good at passing the ball, driving, finding the open man, cutting to the basket. I think there are people, there's this misperception out there that the Warriors are just a team that jacks a lot of threes, and that's not true at all.
No, and it's definitely not now with KD on the team. You know,
absolutely.
that first championship they won.
They jacked more threes.
They definitely, I mean, Steph right. set records for for threes in a season and things like that, and was just off the charts. And that's how they needed to win that first time. They were, like I say, they're basically the first team that was basically a jump shooting team
right.
that won a championship.
Charles Barkley said they can't win a championship.
Exactly.
They're a jump shooting team. That's what he said.
Exactly.
And he was for once wrong on that.
Yeah, and so they got that first championship. But when you add KD, it changes the dimension. And if you watch the Western Conference Finals, I mean, how many times did Steph get to the rack?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He wasn't even just shooting three. I mean, he was taking defenders and taking them off the perimeter, too.
Yeah.
And, I mean, because they couldn't guard everybody.
Right.
And that's what happens when KD comes, too. It opens things up for Steph.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Steph was good, when he was starting to get good, I mean, he was doing those same things. He was getting to the rack. He was
right.
He was very shifty and tough to guard no matter where he was at on the floor. But when you have KD, now you can't sit and double team him and stop him from driving. You know, you gotta be a little bit smarter about what you're doing defensively, And if you don't play good defense, you're in trouble. And that's exactly what happened a lot of times with Houston. I mean, you can't actually watch the Warriors in the last two championships they've won and say all they do is jack threes, because that's couldn't be further from the truth. They get hot, like you said. I mean,
well, you know why Curry got to the basket uncontested against the Rockets, right? The MVP of the league was guarding.
Because he's terrible defense, yeah.
Sometimes it was.
Yeah.
It was. And there's times where Harden did a better job. He didn't guard Curry all the time, but I remember one time where, oh, my goodness, it was so easy.
He just didn't even try. Like,
yeah.
There were times where he just got by him, and Harden looks like his feet are literally in cement. Like, he's not even moving.
Standing straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why Curry got to the bucket uncontested.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But he's the MVP of the league, which, you know, he is. He had a great year offensively, but you're not going to – James Harden's never going to be confused and will never win Defensive Player of the Year. And if he does, then there should be an investigation into that.
Stop watching the NBA if he ever wins Defensive Player of the Year.
Same thing with Steph Curry, by the way. Steph Curry's not a great defensive player either. And Isaiah Thomas, we know, is not very good. So it is what it is. All right. Enjoy the World Cup final on Sunday, everyone. Enjoy the Wimbledon finals. And let's get ready for some football. We got the Big 12 preseason football poll out. We went over that in Chiefs training camp, getting underway in a couple weeks. Yes, it's about time to turn the page on the sports calendar to some football.